Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you for Aaron. Thank y'all for leading us in worship today. And listen, you're here. You came. I appreciate you coming. Appreciate you making this a part of your weekend to come and to be with us in the early service. And we did not even have to offer you barbecue today. So we're glad to see you and excited to be here. And I'm going to get you to find in your Bibles Daniel chapter 6. We're in Daniel chapter 6 today. We've been in our series. Daniel, next week will be, some of you know, if you know the book of Daniel, first six chapters are all about all that Daniel went through while he was in exile in Babylon and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and about the kings. And then Daniel 7 through 12 is prophecy. And so we're going to spend at least 1 week talking about prophecy. So we'll be looking at Daniel chapter 7 next week and hope that you'll be looking forward to maybe talking about how to be prepared for the future. We're doing this fall, we're going to be starting probably in August, one of our Wednesday night studies is about how to be prepared for the future as well. We'll be talking about those things, but this kind of give us a little bit of preview for that certainly as well. We're in Daniel chapter 6, going to begin reading verse 1 here in just a moment, but maybe just to go ahead and get started for sake of illustration, I'll tell you that one of my pet peeves, I guess, is long recordings on answering machines and voicemails. Not too many recordings on answering machines anymore, but voicemails. And you know the ones where you call, you want to leave a message, but somebody leaves the message, they say hello, and they'll say their full name. If this is a telemarketer, well, I don't need anything. If this is the IRS, you've probably got the wrong number. If this is Publishers Clearinghouse, you know, please call back. And then they say, please leave a detailed message. Please leave your name and your number and the times that I may could call you back. And you're thinking, please just leave a beep. I mean, if you're going to have a long, I guess, recording, be sure that it's perhaps as maybe creative. Some of you have your children perhaps leave some of those messages, and that's okay. So some years ago, I was reminded about this last week, that I decided on my answer machine that I would leave in the background. It would be the introduction to the Andy Griffith Show on the background, and I'd say, well, I'm watching Andy right now. As soon as the show's over, I'll call you back. Beep. You know, that would be. I was gone one weekend. We were out of town. One of the ladies in the church, and understand this is a church a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but one of the ladies in the church apparently called me several times during the weekend, and finally she called one of the other ladies in the church. She said, I keep trying to call that preacher, but every time I do, he just says he's watching TV. And what became even harder later was for me to try to explain to her I wasn't really watching TV. I wasn't even home. Well, how come you said you were watching TV? Well, I really wasn't, and I don't think she quite got it. So finally, I just said, listen, I'm not watching TV now. What can I do for you? Tried to let her understand that regardless, anytime, I'd be glad to watch, be glad to listen to her stop watching TV. Well, here's what I like about Daniel, is that Daniel, he was always did the right thing. He was always found faithful. He was always found doing the right thing at the right time and in the right place. So we understand Daniel, he is consistently faithful even in the most difficult of days. Even from Daniel chapter 1 where he is a teenager, now in Daniel chapter 6, he's in his late 80s. We know that he's not perfect because only Jesus is perfect, but the Bible records his faithfulness. We're going to read today perhaps the most famous story of Daniel, one of the most famous perhaps in all the Bible. And as we read it, we can understand it in light and in the shadow of the cross of Christ and the good news of the gospel. Jesus being the greatest example of the one who calls us to be faithful. In many ways, that's pretty much the whole story of Daniel. The story that we can read, we know many other attributes. He has the gift of understanding, wisdom, godly insight. We find him again and again doing the right stuff, making the difficult right choices. Now, Daniel, the lion's den, is the story of God's deliverance and his faithfulness, but it's also the story of how Daniel was used by God because he chose to do what was right. Do you ever wonder what is the right thing to do? Do you ever wonder what it is that the Lord would like for you to be doing? Maybe to what God has particularly gifted you for, not particularly for your own benefit, but so that you might be useful for God's kingdom. Today we want to discover how we can know that we're in the right place at the right time, doing the right stuff, doing what God wants us to do. This morning, that is what we hope to do if that is your desire. There are no hidden lessons that I want you to particularly know today. The obvious lessons are challenging enough. But how can you be confident that you are the center of God's will? We're going to kind of drive through, kind of make our journey through chapter 6, and then we're going to pull over and park maybe and examine particularly what it is that Daniel did right and how we might be able to be usable by God as well. If you want to know that you're in the right place at the right time and doing the right stuff, be a person of integrity. Be a person of integrity. We're in Daniel chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 reads, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God.'" May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Depending on the generation, say the names of Watergate and Nixon, Lewinsky and Clinton, and now even Sean Diddy Combs, everyone thinks of scandal or among other things. But while certain names automatically give us thoughts of a lack of integrity, to say the name Daniel, even to his worst enemies, is to bring the thought of integrity and godly character. Darius, he was the new Medo-Persian king after he conquered Babylon. His first order was a new administration, so he appointed 120 satraps or rulers over the 120 provinces and three administrators or high officials, as they're called in the ESV that we've read, to watch over those 120. Daniel was one of the three high officials. The king had seen in Daniel what all the other kings had seen as well. They had seen that he had leadership material. He was about to appoint him. The king was about to appoint him as the vice president or the vice king of the kingdom. Words are described to Daniel as being distinguished above all others. He was excellent in spirit. We just read about that. The other leaders in the kingdom, they didn't like it. It didn't say why they didn't like it, but they were envious for at least three reasons. One of the most obvious is they were simply just jealous of all the power that he had and all the power that the king gave him. They were power hungry. Maybe most important, he was too honest. With an honest person in charge, you dip into perhaps their improper financial gain or their ability to maneuver for a position. Being a person of integrity will not always make you popular, but it will make you usable by God. And then he was a foreigner. He was an Israelite. Remember where this is taking place, in ancient Babylon, taken over by the Persians. It would where modern-day Iraq is today, Iraq and Iran, and even the farther points of that. And so here was someone who was Jewish that they did not like. Now, these were Persians. We know that today there are those that would be Arabian descent or Arab descent, and we recognize that the hatred of the Jewish people is certainly older than Jesus and the cross. It goes back to Jacob and Esau and then even Abraham with and all the things that happened there with them. It's some hatred we still see today. It's what we see happening in the Middle East, even on college campuses. So Daniel's political enemies investigated him, even with the most impure motives and the most thorough of investigations at a time when honesty was not widely practiced. They check into his 70 years of political office, even since he was a teenager. He had been a leader. They checked into his private life. They can find no fault in the guy, no indiscretions, no dishonest motives. He had not even taken a pen home from the office. They couldn't even find anybody to lie about him. Notice the words that were used about him in the English Standard Version that we read to describe his integrity in verse 4. There he was found to be faithful, sometimes translated trustworthy, meaning to rely on. You could depend on him. You could depend on his word. He did not change with the times. There was no error. He was not corrupt. He was honest. He did not lie, steal, or manipulate people. Something else ruled his life besides money, power, and selfishness. They were probably perplexed on how he got this far. Said there was no fault, meaning he was not negligent, works hard, pays attention to detail, does his job with excellence, did not cheat on his taxes, same person in public and in private. In short, he was a person of integrity and godly character. An unusual trait for a person in a political day, and in particular in that government. Certainly not like his associates. It does teach one thing. You do not have to lie, cheat, or manipulate people in order to succeed in life. Daniel, now in his 80s, came to Babylon as a teenager, served under several kings, including King Nebuchadnezzar, King Belshazzar, mentioned in the book of Daniel, now King Darius, and he'd risen to the top under each king. Now, there's no guarantee that integrity will get you promoted in this life. There have been many a hard-working believer and honest believer had lost their jobs and had broken relationships because they did the right thing and refused to compromise. What is promised when we put the Lord first is that we can be confident of His care for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And we recognize that one day your reward will come from the hand of God Himself. But if they're going to get Daniel out of office, they wrote and they understood it would be only on one thing, concerning the law of his God, the God he served. They knew that he was a man of God because he lived it. And what was true then is true today. The lost world may not want a godly person of integrity to succeed, but to consistently know your right place, doing the right thing, you and I must be people of integrity. See what they did next in verses 6 and 7. Daniel chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, 'O King Darius, live forever.' All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Well, they lied to the king. First they said all. Well, not all, and perhaps only part. They mentioned governors and counselors being a part of that, and they even led the king to believe that Daniel was in on this and that he was all for it. It's the small people that build their lives and success on top of others while bringing them down rather than by their own merit. On Billy Graham's 90th birthday, before he passed, Franklin Graham of the Billy Graham Association asked for people to send in messages of if they were saved during a crusade or because of Billy Graham's preaching. Many, many people sent messages in and said that they were invited by somebody to a crusade, and at the crusade they gave their heart and life to Jesus. One man said that he came to the arena because he thought he was going to a hockey game. And then after hearing the good news of the gospel, it changed his life. One lady said that she turned on the TV, was preaching on the TV, and the only reason that he remained on the TV is because she could not find the remote, couldn't change the channel. But when she heard the good news of the gospel, she gave her heart and life to Jesus as well. And hundreds of thousands of messages came in like that, and I'm sure it's only a small fraction. Billy Graham's had been interviewed in his life many times by secular and by religious media. It would often ask the question, "Why you?" And the answer to that, why would Lord use Billy Graham to reach so many people for Christ? And the answer for that, the thing that has separated Billy Graham from so many others, has been his integrity. There were better speakers, perhaps, maybe even people to some were the more intelligent, but mattered most was his godliness. A couple of years ago, I was able to go to the Billy Graham Museum and Library. And, of course, you know, there's a gift shop. I had to pick something out of the gift shop. And so I came across this plaque that was good for me, probably be good for anybody. But it says, "End your journey well. Don't waste your life and don't be satisfied with anything less than God's plan. History, past and present, proves that you can be a governor, you can be a president, and even king. Integrity is not necessarily required. But if you want to be useful in the kingdom of God, this is something that is non-negotiable. He's not asking you to be perfect, but if God is not making a difference in your dealings with people and your honesty and your work ethic, then how can you expect to be useful for God? I'm asking you, and I'm seeking to do the same for the sake of your witness, for the kingdom, and for your confidence in being in the center of God's will. Seek to be honest and truthful in everything you do in the coming days, and see if God does not open more doors for you to be used by Him. If you want to be in the right time, at the right place, doing the right stuff, be a person of prayer. Be a person of prayer. One definition of character is a person who is the same in public as he or she is in private. In fact, godly character must be built out of a private time with God. That was true of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. We're journeying through this chapter. Verses 10 and 11 says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. When Daniel went home to pray, he broke the law, a law for which the punishment was death by lions. He didn't hesitate in being faithful in spite of the consequences. Did you notice what the enemies of Daniel asked of the king? I'm sure that the king was flattered by this. They said, King, what we'd like to do is we'd like to make you the God of the month. For 30 days, we'll put a sign in your yard and everything and call you the God of the month. And for 30 days, nobody can give tribute, nobody can pray to any other God except you, O King. And what king would not want that? After all, most kings thought of themselves as deities anyway. It became law, and the enemies of Daniel reminded the king more than once, he can't break his own law. Well, we'll see about that. Though we're told to obey the law of the land. We recognize it. We're told even in the Bible that we have the authorities that we're under the government of. We talk about it sometimes in God and Country Day, like last week, but we also recognize there is a higher priority that is much more important. Peter said that we must obey God rather than men. Corrie ten Boom broke the law of Germany when she hid the Jews from the Nazis during World War II, but she would have broken a higher law had she not followed God and tried to prevent the murder of innocent people. She is credited with saving over 800 Jewish people. Stephen R. Miller wrote, theologian, he wrote, today Christians are being called upon to make more and more difficult eternal choices. As the world becomes more and more secular, believers will increasingly find themselves taking stands that are unpopular and positions that may even violate the law of the land. Well, how do we know when to make a stand? How do we know where and what kind of stand to make? For Daniel and for us, it was to be faithful in prayer. Prayer was that which helped him to know where to stand. He was to continue in prayer. It's interesting that as he was faithful in prayer, it was prayer that made him faithful, and it was also prayer that got him in trouble. But notice the attributes of Daniel's prayer. First of all, we notice maybe his posture in the verse that we read. He got down on his knees and prayed. He bowed before God. You know, we don't have to bow every time that we pray. It's a good practice, but we need to have a humble spirit. Daniel had every reason to have sinful pride in his life. The Bible says that he was good looking and he was healthy, he was intelligent, wise, skillful in interpretation. He had been second and third man in charge under various kings. He was given success in most every endeavor. How did he not keep from having pride that would not make him useful in God's kingdom? It was because he continued to humble himself before a holy God. No matter how good we look to ourselves, no matter how good we look before others, when we kneel before God, we see that we are only wretched sinners who are saved by God's grace. Also notice, another attribute about his prayer. Notice the praise and thanksgiving. As he prayed, he gave thanks to God. What do you think Daniel talked to God about? I think Daniel, and it's evidence here in Scripture, Daniel talked to God about God mostly. His prayers are characterized by his focus on thanksgiving and praise God. He opened the window toward Jerusalem. Now, he had been in Jerusalem and lived there maybe only 15 or 17 years. Now, 70 years he was living in Babylon. So it wasn't just toward Jerusalem that was home, but at least for the Jewish people, it's the place where the temple was, and this is the place where God dwelt. Sometimes somebody will ask me, where's home? And I was born in Birmingham. Sometimes I'll say Birmingham. Actually, in Homewood, Alabama, it's where I was born and raised. And sometimes I guess I will say that, though I've not lived in Birmingham in 40 years, not lived in Homewood in 50 years. So where's home? Well, home is wherever Kelly and I are serving the Lord at the time. So my earthly home, it's here. We are home. But as we talked about some last week in our God Country service, we recognize that we have a heavenly home. Our real home is in heaven, and it's with the Lord Jesus. We're just passing through. And as Daniel made his home in Babylon for 770 years, he still prayed toward Jerusalem. Wherever we find home, we are to pray toward our heavenly home. We are to pray heavenly, or heavenward, focus on heavenly matters. But also know this about the attribute about Daniel's prayer. Notice his practice. It was consistent. Three times a day, just as he has done before. What must we do to be consistent in our prayer? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 55 and verse 17, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We live in a day, surely you understand this, that we live in a day when not less prayer is needed, but more, if we're going to remain faithful, if we're going to be useful in God's kingdom. You might say, well, gee, I'm really busy. How could I be like Daniel? How could I go home three times a day? Just not able to do that. But most of you get up every morning. Most of you go to bed every night. I've gotten to where I eat almost every day, sometimes two or three times a day. But do you ever feel that you need to pray more? Most of us probably do. Here are a couple of practical tips. Make it the first thing that you do, not so that you get over with, but to make it a priority. If you have a hard time finding a block of time to pray, then be sure that it's included maybe several times in the day. Maybe keep a notebook or pen or something so that you're reminded of the things perhaps that you need to pray for, to write them down, to refer to, so you can stay focused on those moments before a meal or during a break at work or before you go to bed. But let's face it, it's a consistent prayer life. It's not for everybody, but it is for you who want to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing for the Lord. Many people have a hard time praying because they don't speak the language. Now, don't misunderstand, because we recognize prayer is just a conversation with God, but the praise and thanksgiving required for a productive prayer life is foreign, even to a lot of people who proclaim Jesus as Savior. Much of prayer is learning to speak the language, giving praise and thanksgiving to God so that we'll be ready. Also, when we do go home, the Lord wants us to turn to Him in a crisis, certainly. But it's better to be sure that you already have a habit of prayer. Daniel did not stop doing what he had always done. He started the practice of prayer as a teenager, evident in the first chapter of Daniel, and it's never too early to begin that, building that spiritual habit, nor is today too late to begin, but to begin and to grow in the practice of prayer, we must. For Daniel, it was better to risk his life than it was to miss one prayer meeting. As we move forward as a church and we think about what we're going to be doing, the vision next 5 years and maybe even beyond, I can tell you that some of that is going to have to do with being sure that we are putting more emphasis on prayer as we continue on. But if you want to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right stuff, you want to be a person of faith. one thing that is needed in order to be faithful is faith. Let's read verses 13 through 17. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 13. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no injunction or ordinance that the king established can be changed. Not only was Daniel set up by his associates, but the king was set up to make a law that he could not break. And when he found out that Daniel was the one that was praying to his God, the Bible says he spent the whole day trying to figure out a way out of this because he loved Daniel. But he could not. And it was the custom in that day, much unlike our day, that sentences would be carried out on judgment, particularly speedily, usually before the day was through. Daniel was found guilty and he was thrown into the lion's den that night. Did you notice the king's reply in verse 16? He said, May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. It reveals to us more about Daniel's faith than the king's. Daniel was a man of faith and everyone knew it. The king believed in many gods at this particular time of the story. In fact, he believed that he was a god who could be prayed to. The hope for the king was that as Daniel had served his God these many years, he was thinking Daniel's God certainly could save him, though he was not confident in that, as we will see. Now, there's some misperception here, and there's some misunderstanding even by believers about God's faithfulness and how good God is. Because sometimes we think that how good God is based on how good we are or how faithful we are to Him. But here's the truth. God is absolutely good. He is good all the time. Daniel went to his house to pray. And then he went to the lion's den, understanding his life could be lost, willing to be faithful and give his life if that is what it took. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, while God can save us from any trouble, He sometimes chooses us to and allows us to go through and be in the middle of a crisis so that we might be at the right place at the right time and so that we might be able to do the right thing. Even in death, we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loves us. In fact, Paul wrote that very thing in Romans chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. It says, As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But know in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Then Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. We recognize that the Lord is with us. And even if the devil is like a roaring lion, we need servants who will stand firm. May we not change our morality with the latest trend. May we stand firm even when it's unpopular, even if it may cost us, even in the most troubling of times. May we be the same no matter what happens, no matter where we are. Jesus was Jesus on Palm Sunday when the crowds cheered him home and they were hailing and praising him as their newfound king. Jesus was still Jesus when they arrested him on the Thursday night of Holy Week. Jesus was still Jesus when they took him and they placed him on the cross and they crucified him. He remained faithful though everyone else had fled, and he died for your sins and for mine. The world changes, but we recognize that our Lord does not. In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's looking for servants who will stand firm and who will keep the faith. But also, if you want to be a person who's found in the right place, the right time, doing the right stuff, be a person of peace. Satisfied with Jesus. Be a person of peace, satisfied with Jesus. May we learn to be satisfied with Jesus alone. Let's read verses 18 through 22, Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 18. It says, Then the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting, No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, shut the lion's mouth, that they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Darius had no peace in the palace that night while Daniel was at peace with God in the den. Better to be in the den of lions with God than to be in the palace of kings without God. In the New Testament, we as believers are given royalty status while Darius was a slave in his own kingdom. Daniel was at peace while God sent an angel of the Lord to protect Daniel. Listen, be sure that we remember who is the hero of the story. Yes, we're learning about the faithfulness of Daniel, but it is truly that it is that God is the hero of the story. He is the one that Daniel continues to point to. But Daniel is at peace because he was innocent before God and before others. Now remember, he was not perfect, because no one is. Only Jesus is the only one that's lived that has been perfect. But if we come to God in repentance and he forgives us, we can also stand innocent before him. You can know the peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace and satisfaction with Jesus is more than a feeling, it's a reality. We do not acquire it by going after it, but we can seek peace with God, and he gives us peace in our lives. You can be at peace this morning. You can give your heart and life to Jesus. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can know today that you can ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You can ask Christ to forgive you. Come clean with Jesus today. You may need to come back into a right fellowship with Jesus. Be prepared for an invitation from Jesus today if you've been far away, because he wants you to be brought closer. On your notes is a definition of peace. If you're holding your notes, I don't know if you've noticed that there, but it is, as we've been talking, knowing that you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right stuff. And if you're seeking to be a person of integrity, to be a person in prayerful fellowship with Jesus and seeking to walk and to live by faith, God will give that peace. That is, he will keep you in the center of his will. And you will find yourself totally satisfied with Jesus alone. Speaking of Jesus, did anything in this passage remind you of Jesus? Let me get you to notice even a couple of verses we didn't read, but back in verse 16, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought, and he was cast into the den of lions." Jesus was betrayed, and he was put into the hands of sinful men to be taken to the hill called Calvary. Daniel 6 and verse 17, it says, "And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel." Well, they placed Jesus in a borrowed tomb, and it was sealed as they rolled a stone over it. Daniel 6 and verse 19, it says, "Then at the break of day, the king rose and went in haste to the den of lions." Early on that resurrection Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and others came to the tomb, and when they came, they found that the stone had been rolled away, and Jesus was not dead, but he was alive. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 22, which is a messianic psalm, meaning that it was written about Jesus. In Psalm 22 and verse 21, first part of the verse, it says, "Save me from the mouth of the lion." We understand Jesus is the better, and he is the greater Daniel, who's been lowered into the lion's den of death. He's been found alive, having conquered sin, Satan, and death, and gives victory for you today. Can we help but think, when we read about Daniel and the lion's den, of the description that is said of Jesus in Revelation 5, that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah? No matter what happens, or no matter how dark this world seems at times, Jesus as the lamb was sacrificed, but as the lion he triumphs and he gives the victory. You know, there are some great descriptions of Jesus that are found in the Bible, written by great men of the Bible, but perhaps there is none greater than the description that we have that is written by the pagan king who becomes a believer. Let's read verses 23 and through 28. Verse 23 of Daniel 6, it says, "And the king was exceedingly glad, commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought, cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives, before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the people of that day these words, much like Nebuchadnezzar had done in Daniel chapter 4. All those that dwell in all the earth, he wrote, 'Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel.'" And listen to this great description. "For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominions shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." The same one who saved Daniel from the power of the lions is the same God, the same Savior, who can take away our sins, who can save us for all eternity, who can help you in each and every day, and is with you regardless of the circumstances, and is our world today, and he is still on his throne. And the last verse, "So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." May our lives serve as a testimony before others as we seek to live with integrity, as we seek to make prayer a priority, as we seek to live in faith, in peace, and satisfied with Jesus alone. Greatest tool for evangelism is a godly, uncompromising life that points to Jesus. A godly, uncompromising life that points to Jesus. It's the greatest tool for changing our world and for impacting lives today. Let's bow together. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you that we can come and worship before you today. We thank you for the life of Daniel, the many stories that we've read about Daniel and his friends in the first six chapters. We pray, Father, that today we thank you for the faithfulness that we see as an example for us, that we can seek to be faithful in all things. We are thankful for the hero of the story, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who is there to help us, the one who gives us opportunity to be faithful, gives us opportunity to be part of kingdom work. We pray, Father, for all those who are here today, pray that you may be in our lives so that we might be able to draw close to you today if we've been far away, so that we may continue the commitment that we've made in the past and continue, Father, to be able to move forward, to grow, and to become more like Jesus. We pray, Father, if there's anyone here today, anyone listening today that doesn't know you or they are unsure about their salvation, Father, we pray that they will call upon you today. Father, thank you for the great victory that you give because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We thank you in the resurrection. We recognize he's conquered death and he gives us life. It's in Jesus' name we lift these prayers. Amen. Would you please stand? As we sing our song of commitment, we encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. Any commitments that you need to make, even during this time, that you could spend time in prayer or even in singing and thoughts toward Jesus. I'm going to be standing down here at the front. Pastor Keith is down here as well. If you'd like to come and talk to one of us about a faith decision, giving your heart and life to Jesus, maybe you've already done so, but you need to tell somebody. Maybe you need to come for baptism. Maybe you're looking for a church to join. You come, let us know. We'll tell you the next steps, what you need to do in order to become a member of this family of faith. Our altar's open. If you'd like to come and pray with one of us as we sing together.